Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yesterday we were discussing in regards to a person before Salah that how he should be particular in regards to his wudu and in particular in regards to relieving himself when he goes to the toilet, when he goes to relieve himself. And this should be done according to the sunnah. So perhaps we all know the dua and we recite the dua, which is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. That here we are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection. That Allah, verily I seek protection from you, from the male and the female shayateen, jinnat that are there, that I seek protection from them. So why is it that a person, he makes this dua, and a person he goes to relieve himself, and a person goes to the toilet, so why is it that a person has to make this particular dua that we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from the shayateen, from the jinnat, etc. that are there? Because the toilet, this is actually the markaz, this is the place of the shayateen. And these shayateen that are there, they cause harm to a person. In some riwayat, some narration that comes, that when a person he goes to relieve himself and he lowers his garment, then these shayateen, they play with a person also. So they cause harm to a person when he goes to relieve himself. So we're taking protection from Allah Ta'ala, from these evil shayateen, these jinnat that are there. It is mentioned regarding Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala. He was one of the leaders of the Khazraj tribe that was in Madinatul Munawwara. And on one particular occasion, he went to relieve himself. So after that, he was found dead. So one of the jinn, they made a claim or they made an announcement, which this is found in the kitabs of hadith. What they said, نَحْنُ قَتَلْنَا سَيِّدَ الْخَزْرَجِ سَعْدَ بْنَ عُبَادَةَ. That we are the ones that kill the leader of the Khazraj, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala. رَمَيْنَاهُ بِسَهْمَيْنِ فَلَمْ نُخَطِّ فُعَادَةَ. That we struck Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala with two arrows. And we did not even miss his heart, meaning we got him head on, we got him killed. So see, these shayateen, these jinnat that are there, they can cause harm to a person. We don't understand this. That is why these are the du'as that have been chosen by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these are the du'as that should be recited when a person goes to relieve himself. And every du'a of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, it is full of wisdom. It is full of wisdom, which we do not understand, but it is full of wisdom. For example, when we make Haji Bhai Paja rahmatullahi alayhi, once when we spend time with him in Jamaat, then he explained to us, he said, see, that when you make wudu, so he said that we are taught to make a dua at that time also. Allahumma ghfirli dhambi. That Allah, forgive me for my gunas. That through this wudu that we are making, all the gunas that a person has committed, oh Allah, forgive me, wash it out now. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with that ability, that when people would make wudu, then with that water that they would be used for making wudu, he would say that what guna that a person is involved in. Later on he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. He said, Allah, I don't want to see the faults of people. It's not something good that we know the faults of people, we go behind the faults of people. So he made dua to Allah Ta'ala to take this away from him. So here we're making dua that Allah forgive me for my gunas. And then further we will say, وَوَسِّعْلِي فِي دَارِي. That Allah grant me a spacious home. We don't ask for an extravagant home. They must have the latest kitchen and the latest cupboards and the latest taps. No. A spacious home where a person comfortably, he can move around his home. So Haji Bhai Paja rahmatullahi alayhi used to say here that see, that when we ask for a spacious home, he says for what reason? He says that for example there are jamaats that are out in the path of Allah. And they have to come and stay. Our home is available. Come and stay. If they are musafirs, they are travelers, people that are traveling, then our doors are open. Come and stay in our home. Now when they're going to come, when Allah Ta'ala gives you that spacious home, they're going to come, they're going to stay in your home. Then these people are going to need food also. So what happens next in the dua? وَوَسِّعْلِ فِي دَارِ وَبَارِكْلِ فِي رِزْقِ. Allah grant me barakat in my risk. So look at that sequence. Now who would think of this sequence that dua must be made in this particular manner? So every dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full of wisdom. Now whether we understand the wisdom or we don't understand the wisdom, but it is full of wisdom. Today unfortunately, Allah Ta'ala save us, that the norm today is that we need to know what is the wisdom behind the rulings of Sharia. That if this is the masla of Sharia, then why is this the masla of Sharia? If this is the ruling of Deen, then why is this the masla of Deen? For example, somebody asked the question that the belly ring that normally ladies wear. So is it permissible to wear this ring or is it not permissible to wear the ring? So the Darul Ifta gave the ruling that the ruling is it is not permissible. So now they want to know what is the reasoning, what is the wisdom, why is it that it is not permissible? So in other words, what we are saying, that if the ruling appeals to me, then I'm prepared to accept the ruling. And if the ruling does not appeal to me, then na'udhu billah, I'm not prepared to accept the ruling. It must appeal to my logic. As Ali radiallahu anhu, he explained this, he says, deen is not according to logic. Many, many masail of deen that you'll find, it got nothing to do with logic whatsoever. لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالرَّايِ. If deen was according to rai, according to your logic, لَكَانَ أَسْفَلُ الْخُفِّ أَوْلَى بِالْمَسْحِ مِنْ أَعْلَاهُ, then it would have been more appropriate that a person, when he makes masah, say he must make masah on the bottom of the socks. Why? When you walk, which part gets dirty? The bottom. So make masah on the bottom of the socks. Now this is according to logic. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, if deen was according to logic, then it would have been more appropriate that a person makes masah on the bottom of the socks than the top of the socks. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَمْسَحُ عَلَىٰ ظَاهِرِ خُفَّيْهِ. He says that most certainly I saw Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he made masah, he didn't make masah on the bottom part of the sock. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made masah on the top portion of the sock. So this is a clear indication that deen is not according to rai. Another example, we can take many examples, that deen is not according to logic. For example, a person, he lets out wind. Now where does the wind come out from? But the ruling of Shariat is that your wudu is invalidated, becomes null and void. So when wudu becomes null and void, where did the impurity come out from? But Shariat says, wash your hands, wash your face, wash your feet, make masah of the head. Got nothing to do. Illogical. Something, Shariat's ruling is something else, and where your wudu broke, that is a different place altogether. So we can take many such examples that deen is not according to the logic of a person. If a person, for example, he says, Maghrib Salah is 3 rakat. So he comes one day and he says, you know, I want extra ibadat. I want to make extra ibadat. I want extra thawab in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So today I'm not going to read 3 rakat. I'm going to read 4 rakat of Maghrib Salah. I'm going to read 4 rakat. What will we say? Does he get extra reward? No, we'll say even that 4 rakat invalid. Your Maghrib Salah is invalid. You'll have to make that Maghrib Salah all over again. Because this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. So the laws of Shariat, every law of Shariat, it is full of wisdom, although whether we understand it or we don't understand it. Although there are those ulama, like Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he has written the kitab Hujjatullah al-Baligha. And mashallah, some ulama have written the commentary of this Rahmatullah al-Wasi'a. So in this Hujjatullah al-Baligha, many, many laws of Shariat, Allah Ta'ala had inspired him. Allah Ta'ala inspired him and he wrote the wisdom behind the various laws of Shariat. But whether this appeals to us or not, or whether we understand the wisdom or we don't understand the wisdom, this is the law of Shariat, this is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should act upon the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this dua should be recited when a person goes to the toilet. Now when should a person recite this dua? So this dua should be recited not when a person enters the toilet, but before entering the toilet, we should recite Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal khubuthi wal khaba'ith, and then a person should enter the toilet. And if a person happens to be out somewhere in the outskirts, in the jungle somewhere, and there a person has a need now to relieve himself, so they out in the jungle, there is no toilet that is there. So before he removes his clothing, this is when a person should recite the dua. Many people ask this question also, that if I go to in the flat, for example, a person is living in a small house, he has a bathroom, toilet in one area. So if I'm making wudu, can I recite the dua when I'm in that particular area? No, that's a place of impurity. So a person, audibly, he cannot recite the dua. But if a person, he just reads it in the heart, while making wudu, he reads the dua in the heart, then ulama have written, then it is sufficient. But if there's a separate, a wall that is separating the two areas, and then he wants to make the dua in the bathroom, then there is no problem whatsoever. But where the toilet facility is there, there a person should not recite the dua. So the du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has great wisdom. Our Hazrat explained, he says that toilet is that jail for for which there is no bail also. Normally a person who goes to jail, he is locked up. Now you pay the bail, you come out, you're free. But toilet is that jail for which there is no bail. Meaning a person, he wants to go toilet. So he says, no, I'll pay so much of money, 1 billion rand I'll pay. So now I don't have to go toilet. No, you won't get away. Every person who has got that need, he has to go to toilet. And when a person has got that need and he wants to go to toilet, then whether his ustad is calling him, or whether it is some senior that is calling him, or his parents are calling him, he hears nobody. He can't hear anyone speaking, because he's got that need, he's got that urge. This is that urge Allah Ta'ala has kept within that human being. On one occasion, Hazrat explained, he said that in Dioban, so in Dioban, in the masjid, in the courtyard, so it's, they perform salah there also. So when it's extremely hot, so the floor that is there, perhaps there's no carpet that's there. In those days, I'm not talking of today, perhaps in those days, there was no carpet that was there. So the courtyard, the floor used to get very, very hot. So a person that comes to read namaz in the courtyard, he has to come with his shawl or some type of cloth or something, he puts it down, and then he performs salah on that cloth. Like in our Eidgah, but normally here they put a plastic, or sometimes they have carpet or whatever. There was nothing, perhaps it's bed tiles or something of that sort. So they will put that down, and then they will perform salah on that. So one student, he was performing salah, and Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was standing next to him. And it was extremely hot. It was so hot he could not tolerate that heat from the floor. So now his ustad is next to him, and Hazrat Mufti Sahib was a senior. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib had the shawl under him. He pulled Hazrat Mufti Sahib's shawl, and he put it this side, and he stood on top of it. See, because now he was desperate, there was a need. So exactly the same way the toilet also. When a person has the need, no matter who calls him, no matter what senior, how senior the person might be, now he doesn't hear anyone because he's got a need, he's got to go and fulfill that need. And the Rakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, he says that Gujarati people, see Gujarati people, they call the toilet Jajuru in Gujarati. So he says, what's Jajuru? He says, see, Jaj. Jaj means King George. That's a king. So Jaj means King George. And Ru means face. It means face. So he says that when a person, he goes and he relieves himself, after having that severe need and he relieves himself, when he comes out, his face is shining like King George. He's so happy now. Because Allah Ta'ala has given him that relief, he has fulfilled that need that he has, and he has come out of the toilet. So this is also a very, very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, that a person, he goes, he relieves himself, he comes out, he's at ease. And really, how much of ease Allah Ta'ala gives a person when he relieves himself correctly. This is a great ni'mat of Allah. I've heard this from many ulama, many mashayikh also, that there was a king in a particular time, and he had this problem where he could not relieve himself. And we've seen few people also like this, that they could not relieve themselves until they had to go and take treatment. And they say it is extremely painful, that when the person, the urine does not come out, it is extremely painful to hold it in. So this king, he had this problem, he couldn't relieve himself. So he went for treatment. Obviously the kings, they're going to go to the best doctors, best physicians, they got all the wealth in the world. So he went to everyone, but nobody could cure him. So somebody told him, see, there's a faqir, there's a poor person, he's down the road, maybe he has the cure for it. So they said, okay, ask him also. So they went to him. He says, yes, I got the cure for it. So they said, well, the king has a problem, come, let's go to the king. The king says, so he says, king has a problem and he wants the cure, I must come to him, I can't come to him. If he wants the cure, he must come to me. So these people that were sent from the side of the king, they went back, they reported. So they told the king, see, that if you instruct us, by force we will grab him and we will bring him here to you. So the king said, no, don't do that, I'm in need of him. So the king came to him. So he said, you know what, I got this problem, you have the cure? He said, yes, I have the cure, but it's going to come at a price. It's not going to come for free, you will have to pay the price. So he said, what's the price? So he said, 50% of your kingdom. 50%. Now what a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala this is, and what difficulty a person goes through when he cannot relieve himself. He said, I'm prepared, 50% of my kingdom I give it to you, without even thinking at that time. So he gave him the cure. Now what happened? He said, I want to relieve myself, I want to urinate. So the cure that he gave him, the prescription that he gave him, he started urinating, but it was continuous. Not like how we normally go, every human being normally how he goes, he will go now, maybe after a few hours he will go again. This was intermittently. This was continuously. So the king came back. He says, no, it's not right. He said, what's wrong? He said that I want to urinate like normal, like before. He said, what you asked for, I gave you the cure for that. You paid me the price for what you asked for. If you want to urinate in this particular manner, like how others normally go and relieve themselves, then you will have to pay a price for that also. He said, what's the price? So he said, the other half of your kingdom. He says, prepare, I'll give that to you. Gave him the cure, now he's perfect. Now he realized. When in desperation, he gave it. Now he realized, what have I done? So now, I heard from some ulama that they say that the king almost lost his sanity. So he came back to the faqir. So faqir says, see, all that I have taken, this kingdom of yours, there's it. I'm giving it back to you. I don't want it. I don't need this also. He says, but I wanted to show you a point that this one ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when you lost it, you were prepared to give your entire kingdom. That's why they say, an-ni'matu iza fuqidat urifat. That the ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, when it is gone, when you lose that ni'mat of Allah, then a person recognizes and he realizes what ni'mat of Allah ta'ala was enjoying. When you're enjoying it, at that time the mind doesn't even go there. One person, he's my neighbor, stays across my home. So he had a problem with the retina of the eye. There's many components of the eye also. So this is just the retina of the eye. So the retina of the eye, he had some holes in it. There was a problem with it. He went for treatment, few operations, and then he lost that one particular eye. But when he was under treatment on one occasion when I went to visit him, so he couldn't even on the light. He said, so much of pain there is in the eye. So he couldn't even switch on the light. And he was crying, like a baby was crying. So once when he came, and he told me, he says, you know, when the ulama, they speak of the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, we just listen to it. We just listen, we take it for granted. And ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, now the ulama are going to speak about this. He said that when I ended up with this problem, then I realized just the eye, what a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is just the eye. And imagine the entire body, it is working like a computer, perfectly. How we eat, how it comes out, how it crushes the food, how the lung is working, how the heart is pumping out the blood, how the brain is operating. There's a stop street 200 meters away. Immediately, there's a message sent to the brain. Now I must apply the brake. At what force I must apply the brake so that I can stop at that? Everything's working like a computer. Do we ever think that these are ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? One buzruk, it is mentioned that later on in his life, he was carrying that urine bag, which many people carry also. So he was carrying that bag. So somebody asked him, he said, Hazrat, what happened that you carrying this bag? What he said? He said that when Allah Ta'ala gave me the ability, when I was able to relieve myself in a proper way, I didn't make shukr to Allah. That was his humbleness. He says, I never made shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So he says that ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala took it away. And the buzruks are such also, when they go through these difficulties, they don't look at the negative. They don't look at this problem I have and that problem I have. They look at all the positives. So many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala I'm still enjoying. At this particular time, I'm enjoying so many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. For example, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. His ustad was Hazrat Mawlana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he heard that his ustad is not feeling too well. So he benefited a lot from this ustad, and they were quite informal also, very close to one another. So he went to visit his ustad. So when he went there, he asked him, Hazrat, that how are you? So one of Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh said, Alhamdulillah. He says, I'm in many, many ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala I'm enjoying at this time and moment. He says, I'm able to see perfectly. My hands are working. My heart, my feet are working. I'm able to walk. My heart is in order. My lungs, my kidneys, all the parts of my body, everything is functioning properly, perfectly. There's just one little problem that I have. See, he spoke of all the ni'mats of Allah. And after speaking of the ni'mats of Allah, what he said? One small problem we have today. He says that I have a little bit of fever. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah later he explained. He said, what was his fever on that day? He says, 105 degrees. Now we, what we would have said, all the problems in the world are on me. Because I have this level of fever, now I have to go to the doctors, and I have to go for checkup, and I have to go for this test, and I have to go for that, to go for that test. We'll make mention of all that first. They mention all the ni'mat of Allah we're enjoying at this time, and this one little problem that I have. Which is the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mullah Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, he explained this. He said that in the incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, we all know the story, we're not going to go into the story, that how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was taken, thrown into the well, sold in the market, became a slave, put into prison. Finally, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he became the minister of Egypt. So when he became that minister, and now there were no grains, so his family members now came all the way from Canaan, they came to Egypt now to take grains. And then finally came the time where Allah Ta'ala united this whole family. All of them were now brought together. Yusuf Alayhi Salaam told his brothers that now you must bring your brother, Binyamin. That was his own brother. And then he kept him back. And then he said that now when you come next time, you must bring your father also. And then all of them were united in Egypt. So Allah Ta'ala now mentioned in the Quran, in regards to Yusuf Alayhi Salaam, that after he was united, he could have now spoken of what he went through. They say this separation, according to some commentators of Quran, they say it was 40 years. 40 years, Yusuf al-Islam was separated from his family. And according to some commentators, they say 70 years, Yusuf al-Islam was separated from his family. So after this 40 years or 70 years separation, if it was us, we would have written a whole book, what happened in the 70 years of our life, and maybe volumes also of that book. Yusuf al-Islam explained it in one sentence. One sentence. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. He said, Allah done ihsan to me. Then talk of the problem. Allah done ihsan to me. Allah Ta'ala favored me. Allah did good to me. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجِنِ. When Allah took me out of prison. Doesn't speak about going into prison. What difficulty I had to go through. And I was innocent. I was unjustly put into prison. Allah done ihsan to me. Allah done a favor to me. When Allah took me out of the prison. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجِنِ. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ. And Allah Ta'ala brought you from the countryside, oh my family. We were separated, you were in Canaan, I was in Egypt. Allah Ta'ala brought you all the way from Canaan, brought you to Egypt, and Allah Ta'ala united you with me. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. This problems that happened, when my brothers took me, they threw me into the well. This wasn't my brother's fault. Wasn't my brother, he didn't grudge them. He didn't hold it against them. When they came for the grains also, he didn't hold back the grains from them. He says, this friction, this problem, this hatred and animosity, this shaitan created. So his whole problem of 40 years, or his whole problem of 70 years, he explained this in one sentence. Just in one sentence. This is what is when a person looks at the positive, at the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala that he's enjoying, and not the negative. A person, he doesn't have a job. Now he can look at it negative, that I don't have a job, I don't have this, I don't have... But look at the health that you have. Somebody that's a multi-millionaire, he can't put a morsel of food in his mouth. You are enjoying fruit, you are enjoying so many ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala at this particular time and moment. So look at that positive, don't look at that negative. Somebody, for example, he doesn't have shoes. So he shouldn't say that I don't have shoes. Look at that person who doesn't have legs. In matters of dunya, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم. Look at those people that are lower than you, that don't have these ni'mat. انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Don't look at those people. Sometimes the effect of the word comes. Don't look at those people that are above you in dunya. In dunya, when you're going to look at people that are above you, then you will make فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. You will make ناشكري of the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So these were the Buzuganuddin. They looked at the positive. Then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, after mentioning this point, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, what did he say? He said, see, you go to somebody's home. You go to somebody's home, you go to visit them. So when you go to the home, the host, he's going to serve something to you. He's going to give you something to drink, something to eat. And it doesn't have to be that he has to give you a 5-course meal. Even if he gives you a date, or even if he gives you a glass of water, he has made your mihman nawazi, he has hosted you. So you went to somebody's home, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah says, that the host, he brings you half glass of milk. Half glass of milk. And he serves it to you. So he says, one person, he will say that the glass was half full. He'll say, glass was half full. And another person will look at the glass. And what will he say? The glass was half empty. Same half glass of milk. What's the difference? The one person that said half full, he looks at positive. He looks at all the positive things. And the one that looked at it and said half empty, what does he look at? He looks at the negative. So our attitude should be, look at the positive, the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. That what ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala I'm enjoying, and then the problems that we have will be absolutely nothing. That Allah, there's so much that you have given me. This is nothing, Ya Allah. And in reality, what do we have? Nothing belongs to us. Everything is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran also, that وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is the matter with you that you do not spend in the path of Allah? وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ For Allah Ta'ala is the inheritance of the heavens and the earth. What does this mean? Some Mufassirin have explained under this verse. They say that for Allah is the inheritance of the heavens and earth. Meaning a time will come today, you've got so much of money. Somebody's got 10 rand, somebody's got 1,000 rand, somebody's got million rand, somebody's got billion rand. Somebody got billions of rand. Whatever it might be. The day you're not going to be here, it's going to go to your children. They will become the inheritors of your estate. And the day they are not there, it will go to their children. And this will continue. But the time will come before Qiyamah when every person will leave the world. Every person will have to leave the world. And at that time when every person leaves the world, all that wealth that was now left behind by the people, all the cash and the gold and the silver, who becomes the inheritor of all this? وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ This is the inheritance of Allah Ta'ala. So in other words, nothing was ours. When we came into the world, we had nothing. And nothing is going to be ours. Eventually, everything goes back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So just look at that, O Allah, that whatever I'm enjoying, it is your ni'mat, it is your bounty that I'm enjoying at every split second of my life. Hazrat, I'll take one more incident of Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, since we came onto this topic. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, what a great personality, what a pious person. When the British had come into India, at that time, they were arresting all our akabirin. Our ulama, they had fought against the British. So, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, he had gone to Makkah Sharif. And he settled down in Makkah Sharif. But they were in hiding. In Makkah al-Mukarramah also, they were in hiding. So, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, in a particular muallim, some teacher, in his home, in the basement, he was hiding in the basement. So, the British government, they made contact with the Saudi government at that time. And they said that this person is in hiding, we want you to hand him over to us. So, they found out, the Saudis, they found out that he's at a particular person's home. So, they called this person. They said, see, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah is by your place, he's hiding by you. Shaykhul Hind is hiding by you. And if you don't hand him over to us, to the authorities, then your whole family, they will either be put to prison or put to death. I cannot recall exactly. But there will be a punishment. They will either be put to prison or put to death. So this person doesn't have the courage of telling Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah that, Hazrat, this is what has happened today. That you have to be handed over. But he kept it secret. He kept it to himself. So that evening when he went into the basement to meet Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, so Hazrat saw his face and realized there is a problem. So he thought to himself, he says, because of my safety, because of my convenience, somebody else's family must suffer. His family, they must be taken in for me, because of me. Can't happen. It can't happen. So immediately he came out of hiding. And he says, I am handing myself over to the authorities. Now for what? They were oppressing him. What did Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah do? It was oppression. But at that time, he didn't look at the negative, that I'm being oppressed, I'm being imprisoned, I'm taken away as a captive. No, he didn't look at it in that regard. What did he say? He says, I make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. I make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't commit any crime because of which I'm being arrested today. This is oppression. I didn't cause any crime. I didn't do anything wrong because of which I am being arrested, so I make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for that. And the second thing Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah said, he said, we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala gave us Pakistan. Because at that time they had fought for India and Pakistan. Obviously there was a difference of opinion among the ulama. Some were in favor of the partition of Pakistan, some were not in favor of Pakistan. They said that we should remain in India, and some were in favor of Pakistan. So he made shukr that Allah Ta'ala gave us Pakistan. And then what he said? He says that we fought for Pakistan. We wanted our own country. Because living in India with the Hindus, it was not possible for us to practice 100% upon Shariat. So we wanted our own country so that we can practice totally upon Shariat. He says that is why we went for Pakistan. So see, at that time of his life also, shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Didn't look at the negative, he only looked at the positive. So when a person, his gaze is on the positive aspects, what ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him with, that even though he's going through some difficulty, that difficulty will become like inferior, it will become small. Because his gaze is on the ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here also when a person, he goes to relieve himself, this is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah. Very great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. That is why when a person, he comes out of the toilet, when he leaves the restroom now, so he makes dua to Allah. And what dua does he make? Ghufranak. That Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Here the word is hidden over here. It either can be as'alu ghufranak. Allah, I'm asking for your forgiveness. Atlubu ghufranak. I'm seeking your forgiveness to Allah. We'll explain that why a person, when he leaves the bathroom, he leaves the toilet, he asks for the forgiveness of Allah. And what does he say? Alhamdulillahilladhi azhaba annil adha wa afani. That Allah Ta'ala, all praises you to Allah Ta'ala who has removed from me this harm. This was harm that was with me. And if a person doesn't relieve himself, so much of inconvenience he goes through. So he says, Allah Ta'ala removed this from me. And Allah Ta'ala has given me afiyat. Allah has kept me with well-being. And a person feels so good also. So a person should recite this dua now, when he leaves the toilet. Now why is it that a person, he is asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness when he is leaving the restroom and he is leaving the toilet now? Why is it that he is saying, Allah, I seek your forgiveness? So many, many explanations have been given to this. I will just mention a few explanations. One explanation that has been given to this is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله في كل أحياني. Every moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the zikr of Allah. He was in the remembrance of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the zikr of Allah ta'ala all the time. But when a person went now to relieve himself, because it's a place of impurity, a person can't make the zikr of Allah. That's why it's mentioned that the jannati, when he enters into jannat, he'll have no regret in jannat. Every ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, he'll get in jannat. He'll have no regret. But the time spent void of the zikr of Allah, that he will regret. That one more subhanallah I could have said in the world, I wasted that time. So Nabi alayhi salam all the time in the zikr of Allah. But when a person went to relieve himself, he couldn't make the zikr of Allah. So now Nabi alayhi salam would make istighfar, that ghufranak, Allah, I seek your forgiveness, that this time of my life was void of your zikr and void of your remembrance. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Grand Mufti of Pakistan. One occasion he called his children, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, he called them. And he said, see, I feel shy to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain this point to you. What did he say? He says that my entire day is spent in a constructive manner. That the whole day they will be involved, busy in some khidmat of deen, some work of deen, they will be involved. Certain time maybe for tafsir, certain time for hadith, certain time for darul iftah. The whole day will be spent in some khidmat and some work of deen. He says, but when you go to relieve yourself, when I go to relieve myself, what can you do? What constructive work can you do at that time? You can't do anything. So he says that I feel that my time is wasted at that time. My time has been wasted. So he says, so that time also is not wasted. He says, what I would do, the lota that would be kept, the toilet jug that would be kept, that also needs to be washed. So he says that I will use that time now, whilst I'm relieving myself, to wash that toilet jug. That no time of their life is spent futile, waste of time. Every moment of their life is spent constructively. Is mentioned of Ibn Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi. Ibn Arabi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, one of the greatest kitabs that have been written in the world, or the kitab in terms of volume, the most work. So he says, is the kitab called Al-Funun by Ibn Uqayl, rahimahullah. So he said it was 800 volumes. Obviously our volumes today may be thick volumes, 300-500 pages per volume. In those days, those were handwritten kitabs. So the volume is not very thick. So perhaps that is what he was referring to, because for a long time I'm trying to think about this. 800 volumes is a lot. So he said 800 volumes he had written. This was the largest publication in the world. Then he says that when I, at the end of my life, when I sat down and I started enumerating my works, how much of work have I done? He said that when I gathered all the kitabs that I had written, perhaps here also small volumes, he said it came to 2,000 volumes. 2,000 volumes. Today, can we even read 800 volumes? We can't even read 2-3 volumes. Maybe one volume also sometimes becomes difficult. They wrote it, handwritten, 800 volumes and 2,000 volumes. And then he says, at the age of 92, he was 92 years old when he said this. He says, I thought to myself at the age of 92. He says, I can't remember that even once I sat and I laughed. And I sat and laughed jokingly or just wasting my time, not even once in my life. Ibn Arabi rahmatullah alayhi, after doing so much of khidmat of deen, what did he do? He says that when I used to write, in those days you used to get the pen that you had to sharpen. And then with that pen you would write. So when they would sharpen, all the shavings would come off. So he never threw the shavings away. He took all the shavings and he gathered all the shavings in one particular place. And that was a zamana, that was a time when there was no electricity. So when they had to heat the water, they had to cook food, they had to ignite, they had to burn a fire, and then cook the food, warm the water, whatever work they had to do. So he kept the shavings. And then he made a wasiyat before he passed away. He said that when I pass away, then these shavings that have been gathered, they must be used, they must be burned to warm the water for my ghusl, and with that water I must be given the ghusl. How much of khidmat of deen Allah Ta'ala accepted them for. But this happened when they spend their time constructively. So here also Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala all the time he was involved in. Mufti Rashid Sahib Ludhianvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, great alim of deen, Pakistani. I think he was made shaheed also. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, great khidmat, Ahsanul Fatawa, great fatwa kitab, written by Mufti Rashid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, many other kitabs written by him. He says, many a times ulama used to come to visit me. Many a times. He says, but the latter part of my life, I had dedicated only to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So he says that when I never used to entertain, when people would come and I would say that I cannot see somebody at this time, he said people used to get offended. So he said then finally he had to give a bayan, and then he had to explain to the people his reasoning, that this portion of my life I have dedicated to the ummah, that I will do work, I will write kitabs, whatever it might be, for the ummah. So that is why I do not have time for anyone else. This time has been given for the service of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is how they spend their time. Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi, the commentator of Bukhari Sharif. Now he's writing hadith all the time. All the time he's writing hadith. But again, they used to sharpen the pencil as they are writing. So when it would be time now to sharpen it, how long it will take to sharpen it? Perhaps a few seconds it will take to sharpen it. In that time, he would start making zikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, something he would recite at that time. So even that time is not void of the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But today, people say, you know, we need to pass some time. I came to see you, we said, let's sit and pass some time. So today we want to pass time. Our Hazrat says, you're not passing time. You are failing time. Because when you go in the qabr, then you'll realize that so much of my life I have wasted. You have failed time. And what some say, leave passing time. Some say, let's kill time also. So the time in your life that has gone, this time that has gone, this 40 minutes that we sat here and we discussed, this 40 minutes of our life that has gone, this 40 minutes will never ever come back in our life. A person, he's got money. It happens, Allah Ta'ala save us. People are millionaires. An overnight table turns, something goes wrong, and they can lose everything. But that money that he lost, he will get it back. There's a possibility Allah Ta'ala, down the line, Allah Ta'ala will open the way for him. And he will become wealthy again. A person, he lost his health. But cure is from Allah Ta'ala. Later on Allah Ta'ala will give him his health back also. He will regain that health that he had lost. But the time that you lost in your life, that time will never come back. Our Hazrat says that I give an example of this. It's not a very good example. But he says to understand the point, he says that the other day I mentioned to the brothers also, yesterday also I had a phone call where the brother was explaining that his daughter became murtad, she became Christian. So Allah Ta'ala save us and our children, this is a university. They want to know what's going wrong. What's going wrong is you took her and you put her in the fire. And now you want to know why she's getting burnt. One person, I was explained one time, he says one person came to Hafiz Sallu rahmatullahi alayhi. And he said that, Hazrat, I'm sending my daughter to the UK to go and study. You make dua. You make dua. Hazrat said, you sending her in the rain and you telling me to make dua, she mustn't get wet. Exactly the same way we're putting them in the university. And then we saying, Maulana, make dua that nothing must happen to my daughter. One person, he went to the university to drop off his child, to put him in university. When he reached the university, when he saw the mahol, he saw the environment, he said, I must put my child in Jahannam. And on top of that, I must pay the fees. I must pay the money for putting my child into the fire of Jahannam. So this is the result. Now they cry. So I don't know where we went on this point now. What was I saying? So a person can become Jazakumullah. The person becomes murtad. Person became murtad. So there is hope, inshallah, that sometime again Allah Ta'ala will give that person hidayat. It has happened to many people. They make tawbah, they come back onto the straight path. So there also there's a reversal. Person went off the track, he lost his iman, but he could come back onto iman. But the time that you lost in your life, that minute that is gone, that will never come back. So value that time that Allah Ta'ala has given us. So this is the one reason that the muhaddithin say that we make dua, Allah forgive us, that this time spent when I went to relieve myself, that was void of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala.